Hello, this is Jeff Otis, partner at Evergreen, and you're listening to Coffee with Evergreen on the Evergreen Exchange. I hope you enjoy this 20-minute conversation between myself and Evergreen co-CIO, Jeff Dix. And as always, thanks for listening.
All views and opinions expressed by the host and any guests of the podcast are solely the individual's views and do not necessarily reflect the views of Evergreen GovCal. Evergreen GovCal's clients may hold securities mentioned in this podcast at any given time. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions or be considered investment advice. Enjoy the episode.
Joined today by Evergreen co-CIO and fellow partner Jeff Dix. And Jeff, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back.
We're doing this coast to coast today. I'm still obviously here on the, well, I shouldn't say obviously, I'm still here in the Pacific Northwest. And I think for the time being, you're out on the East Coast, aren't, isn't that true?
Yeah, my in-laws live on Long Island. So we bring our kids out here for a few weeks in the summer. So they can spend some time with their grandparents and family out here and our friends out here. So I am working remote from my in-laws basement.
Well, I should say for the sake of our listeners, they really appreciate you taking time out of your vacation to make this. And I'm excited to get your thoughts on markets and where we're at and where we're headed. So let's kick you off with, I don't know, it's been probably 3-4 months since I've had you on the podcast. So why don't you give a quick update on markets and where we stand on the year?
Sure. Well, on the equity side, just let's start there. You have the S&P up a little over 20% year to date. The NASDAQ is up around 33-34%. International stocks up 13%. So U.S. stocks outperforming, really U.S. growth stocks outperforming within the U.S. market, as you can see from the NASDAQ, which is growth heavy. So, and then you have U.S. outperforming the rest of the world. And if you look at growth versus value, the Russell 1000 growth's up 33%, Russell value's up 8%. And it's really not just the disparity between growth and value. You also have very narrow leadership. If you look at the top names in the S&P 500, NVIDIA, Google, Apple, Meta, Tesla, Microsoft, and Apple, I think I got 7 there. You have to check me on that, Jeff.
But sounds right.
That makes up about 2/3 of the 20% year-to-date return if you take the weight of those stocks times the return. So it's been an extremely narrow leadership as well. In other words, if you were just to look at the other 493 names, those names are only up 10. So, you know, it's been a tough market to keep up with, particularly, you know, if you have Apple at 7% of the index, Microsoft at 6%, and some of these other names at fairly substantial weights. It's hard for maybe a more value-oriented investor to keep up this year, although certainly last year value outperformed growth significantly. But it's certainly been kind of a narrow market. Fortunately, the last few months we've seen value in line with growth. So you've started to see leadership widen out quite a bit. So that's a healthy sign for the markets. I think the market in general is going to start focusing a bit more on valuation. But regardless, it's been a nice year bouncing back relative to 2022. On the bond side, it's been more mixed. For longer term government issues. And last year was the worst year on record for bonds, as we've discussed. The Barclays Ag is only up 1.5% this year. That's really only income. And in fact, you know, the prices are down a little bit. So the income has helped offset price declines for bonds. If you look at the 10-year treasury yield, it's moved up from 3.8 to 4. So the price of the 10-year has come down, but it's been offset a bit by yield. Corporate bonds have fared a little bit better. Investment grade corporate bonds are up 3.3, high yields up 6. With the move up in equities, you've seen kind of prices for high yield bonds move up a bit. So you've also on the income side had steady appreciation for an area that we invest in frequently across our income portfolios, midstream energy. That sector's up 15%. So overall, you know, for balanced portfolios or growth portfolios, it's been a nice year. At this point, markets feel a bit extended. I'm talking to you, Jeff, on Wednesday, August 2nd, after the close. We had, of course, a rather big down day today where tech led to the downside. But after a steady march higher the last few months, I think I'd expect at least some consolidation, if not some sort of minor pullback or moderate pullback in the market.
Yeah. So in terms of 2023, let's just, you know, we're recapping that it's been a pretty significant up year, and especially off the lows that we saw in 2022. Maybe from a macro perspective, like what is driving the market higher so far this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I think, you know, first of all, I think if you just look at global central bank liquidity, so, you know, central bank balance sheets, only a third of the stimulus that was added during COVID has been removed. So you still have a lot of money floating around the system. You also have in the U.S. the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act that's added significantly to construction spending and reshoring of manufacturing. In other words, you know, monetary policy in terms of rates is restrictive. The Fed funds rate's up at 5.5% after that latest interest rate increase by the Federal Reserve. But you still have a significant amount of stimulus in the economy. And on top of that, you have very loose fiscal policy that's beginning to kick in. Also, if you think about interest rates, and again, you know, the Fed funds rate's up at 5.5 now, that takes a while to feed into the system. You know, so if you think about mortgage rates, how many people are really affected by the higher mortgage rates? You've had, you know, housing activity basically grind to a halt this year. So there's really not that many people moving. So higher housing costs aren't affecting people that aren't taking on new mortgages. Although, you know, rental rates have moved back up. But, you kind of see some of the lending activities halt. Or in other words, you could also look at corporate credit, corporate balance sheets. A lot of these corporations refinance their debt during 2019, 2020, even early 2021. And you have some maturities that you're needing to refinance, but that doesn't happen all at once. So, you know, the big rate increase we've seen this year takes a while to feed into the actual economy. Also, you know, our economy is still adding about 300,000 jobs per month. And it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to have a recession when you're adding that number of jobs per month. Just today, the ADP had the advance release for July, and it was 325,000 jobs. You know, I think a lot of people expected the labor market to cool off this year, but it's been very strong. Household net worth is also just about to make an all-time high when you look at stocks, bonds, housing, and then maybe most importantly, inflation's coming down. The most recent CPI report was 3%. You've had a steady decline in inflation rates really each month over the last 8 or 9 months. Consumer confidence is starting to bounce back. So, you know, relative to last year, you know, a lot of these items are much better. You have nominal GDP still growing at 5%. So it's, you know, there's a lot of positives that have occurred this year that have reversed course from last year. So there are some positive aspects that have kicked in.
Yeah, just looking at trueflation.com, looks like they even have it at 2.23%. So yeah, that's been a meaningful pullback. Even if you go back a year ago, it had it almost up to 11%, yeah, last August.
Yep.
So, significant move there. But I mean, is this a market that you can trust, you know, or is this a market you should fade? Like, what is our outlook from here as a firm?
I think if you have to say a recession this year looks increasingly unlikely. So at this point, it seems unlikely to test the lows that we had from last October. With that said, you know, looking at valuation is very important. You know, that's something at Evergreen we look at very closely. The S&P now trades around 19, 20 times earnings. Another way to look at that, in a lot of people think about it, if you think about a dividend yield on a stock, you can look at an earnings yield on a company or the market. So in other words, if the S&P is trading at 19 times earnings, the earnings yield's around 5%. So just earnings per share over price. Another way to look at that figure is versus the Fed funds rate. So if you take the earnings yield on the S&P minus the Fed funds rate, it's actually negative. That's very another term for that's the equity risk premium. The last time that was negative was the late 90s. And if you invested in the S&P and held it for 15 years at that point, the total return was 5% over the next 15 years. So at these valuation levels, it's logical to think that returns on stocks will be lower going forward. Historically, stocks have returned 9 to 10%. Over the last decade, it's been annualized 12.5%. So not only from a valuation perspective, but from a reversion to the mean perspective, you know, it seems to me that equity returns will be lower. So perhaps, you know, the next 10 years, next 15 years are in that 5 to 10 range instead of above 10. Near term, stock markets had an incredible run, and usually you finish the year off strong when you have nice up years in the first half. I'd expect some volatility here as we enter the fall, but it's still conceivable near term you could grind higher. We would take that opportunity to de-risk our equity portfolios, you know, just, you know, selling to strength. Fortunately, the value side of the market and even cyclical side of the market still holds a lot of cheap stocks. So we think by tilting the portfolio in that manner can provide higher than, say, market S&P type returns over time.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, what changes are we making in our equity portfolios? And we're saying that, you know, after, like you said, after the close on Wednesday the 2nd, where, I mean, Dow was down 1%, NASDAQ was down 2%. We've seen those type of moves so many times in the last few years, and in some cases even more than that. But what are we thinking in terms of equity portfolios, more specifically in terms of you know, any sort of rotation or adjustments from here?
Yeah, and just to talk about today's action, that's, you know, today's action was very different than what we've been accustomed to this year, where you've seen the NASDAQ up maybe 1.5%, small caps up just barely, value up barely. So today was certainly not necessarily a change in market trends, but certainly it could be. And what we're doing this year on the equity side is we're doing some rebalancing. So broadly, we're selling growth down, adding to value, but on a sector or theme level, selling down securities that have benefited from the AI or artificial intelligence move this year. A lot of those names have moved up substantially, you know, above where we think they should trade. From a sector perspective, lining up on consumer discretionary, technology, certain communication services names. We've been doing some rotation. Earlier this year, we added to financials. We've added to energy on weakness this year and materials. We've dollar cost averaged into healthcare stocks, which have lagged this year pretty substantially. Recently, we've been looking to add to industrial names that could benefit from a, you know, kind of a reshoring of manufacturing. Not to mention, we've also been slowly building up our international equities within these sectors as well. So I think on the equity side, overall, you know, rebalancing, maybe having a tilt to value at this stage, still okay to hold growth names at a reasonable price. At least we're okay, you know, holding names that trade at maybe above market valuations, but have above market growth rates. But then, you know, building up the international sleeve. And I think if you tilt your equity portfolios that way, it'll add, you know, incremental return over time.
What about bonds? What are we doing? What are we thinking about the bond side of our portfolio or fixed income side of our portfolio? And how are we playing that?
Yeah. So heading into 2022, we were certainly, you know, short on duration. We felt rates were going to move up fairly substantially. Last year, you know, middle to Q3, Q4, we added a fair amount of duration through adding corporate bonds, intermediate to longer term maturities, you know, basically bonds maturing out from anywhere from 2028 to 2035, combination, basically 50% high yield, 50% investment grade. We still like the bond market. Today, we're focusing a bit more on investment grade. High yield spreads are tight. And looking out to 2024, we're still worried about a slowdown in economic activity where you could see spreads widen a bit and perhaps default rates tick higher. So today we're lightening up a little bit on high yield, but we're absolutely okay buying intermediate to longer term investment grade bonds. We also have a fair amount of short duration treasuries at attractive yields. Although recently we've been selling some of our ultra short treasuries and buying bonds that mature, treasury bonds that mature in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, where you could potentially get the benefit a year or two out if the Fed were to cut rates. We also still have a fair amount of cash. Overall, I'd say within the bond side, we can very easily build out a high quality diversified bond portfolio with a, you know, yield to worst or a current yield of around 6 to 6.5%. And if you think about that rate of return, and especially on a risk adjusted basis versus equities that we as we just talked about that are priced for perfection, you know, that looks pretty appealing to us relative to a very pricey stock market. And investment grade bonds are currently trading at a yield near a 12-year high. Fundamentals are strong. There's a lot of companies you can find with high free cash flow yields, you know, significant market cap relative to the debt outstanding. So really good credit situations where you're able to get 6, 7, 8% type yields. And the structure are kind of interesting too. On the bond side, a lot of these bonds are trading at deep discounts because a lot of the corporations were smart, refinanced debt at, you know, 3 or 4% type interest rates. And now those bonds are trading at 70, 80, 85 cents on the dollar. So you have, you know, current yields where you have the coupon over the price where you're getting anywhere from 4 to 5%. But, you know, if you hold the bond for 2 years or 10 years, rather, you're going to get back $20 in principal as well. So we kind of like those opportunities. We're certainly, you know, actively managing and investing our bond portfolios a lot quicker today just because of where yields are.
Yeah, no, incredible opportunity, right? I mean, we've been here, at least I've been here now 16 years. I think you've been here maybe 10, 11, 12 years, something like that. It was, I think, 3 or 4 years after I joined Evergreen. Yeah. And these are some of the best, at least, entry points into bonds that we've seen in our entire career. Granted, there's maybe some in the industry that are like, oh, no. If you go back even further, but I mean, in terms of the last decade and a half or two decades, this is some of the most compelling bond offerings that we've seen, you know, and especially if the Fed's in a pause mode or potentially pivoting ahead, depending on what happens. So obviously that's a story still to play out. So we'll find out as we go along, but I really appreciate your time today. I'm going to get you out of here with, especially while you're on family vacation, I'm going to get you out of here with a little bonus question and then we'll wrap up. So, while you're on Long Island, is there a favorite thing that you enjoy doing there or that you would recommend anyone else that's visiting that area?
For a few days, we took our family out to Montauk. The weather's wonderful out there. They have great beaches. We brought our family out there and had a great couple of days. So we really enjoy going out to Montauk, which is at the tip of Long Island for a few days. Last night, we went in to the Bronx and went to a Yankees game, which was fun too. So we've been, mostly it's just family time, but it's, you know, we like going out to Montauk and then catching, you know, an event in the city is fun too.
That's awesome, man. Well, have a great time out there. Enjoy your time with your wife and kids and in-laws and safe travels home.
Thank you, Jeff.
Evergreen GovCal is a wealth management firm with offices in Bellevue, Washington, Portland, Oregon, and California's Bay Area. We provide investment management, tax compliance, family office, and retirement planning services. Evergreen is accepting applications for new clients who align with our firm's investment and planning approach. If you think you might be a fit with us, follow the link in the show notes to fill out our prospective client compatibility survey.